Hello, Marion Pallister, a Justice and Peace Scotland Commissioner and Chair of Pax Christi Scotland here. That statement earlier in the month that climate change is a reality didn't exactly come as a surprise, did it? Greece and California were ablaze at the time. We'd had the floods across Europe and more were expected. Temperatures have been soaring in Scotland. The ice cap and the Gulf Stream are so badly affected that weather patterns will now be unpredictable and sea levels are guaranteed to rise. The IPCC, that's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, their sixth assessment report confirmed what all but the most sceptical, all but the most avid conspiracy theorists have long recognised. Recent changes in the climate are widespread, rapid, and intensifying, and impacts are affecting every region on Earth, including the oceans. UN Climate Change, that's an arm of the UN United Nations operation, said that this assessment of the latest science is a severe warning regarding the well-being of human society and all life on Earth. In other words, our stewardship of the common home that God gifted to us has failed. Human beings have made a mess of it for all God's creation. The UN Climate Change hardly needed to say that it is testimony to the fact that efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions over the past decades have been wholly insufficient. Our report card? Must try harder. The words used by the IPCC, the world's top climate scientists, couldn't have been stronger. Unprecedented in thousands or hundreds of thousands of years, they said. Just checking, but yes, the dictionary does say that this means it has never happened before. And irreversible. That's not a word to like in this context. It really does mean permanent, unable to be reversed. We've done it. And like the precious vase handed down from my great-grandmother that smashed to smithereens when the wind caught an open window, it can't be put back together again. Time to think outside the box. And just as it was my fault in failing to close the window when the wind got up, the scientists found that human activity, that's all our activity, was unequivocally the cause of rapid changes to the climate, including sea level rises, melting polar ice and glaciers, heat waves, floods and droughts. Unequivocally. That means we can't deny it. It means, in a word that I'm guilty of overusing, it's clearly our fault. I don't mean you and me specifically, although we do undeniably, unequivocally contribute to the overall picture, but humankind. How did this happen? How did it come to this pretty pass? All of this came just a week after my parish, St Margaret's in Lough Gilphead in the Diocese of Argyll in the Isles, had hosted a Zoom meeting on the environment. We had called it Laudato Si Action Platform, COP26 and us. We asked speakers to talk about what rural dioceses like ours can do to play our part in meeting that all-important goal of limiting global warming to 1.5 centigrade, compared to pre-industrial levels. And one of our speakers was Canon Roddy Johnston, who, prior to becoming a priest, worked in forestry and was a forestry consultant, providing financial appraisals for those wishing to invest in forestry. He's a man with a wealth of environmental knowledge, and his advice to us was not to focus on one specific so-called solution to the climate crisis, you know, such as planting more trees, but to do something of everything. The idea of offsetting our carbon footprint is, however, a cop-out, pun intended, and I hope that COP26 comes down heavily on those companies that claim to be saving the planet by planting trees as a payoff for the fossil fuels they're using in spades. As Father Roddy noted, the airline company that piously says it's helping to cut carbon emissions by planting woodland while still flying thousands of miles on aviation fuel is kidding itself and us. But then we allow ourselves to be kidded. We choose the airline company that claims to be greener and pat ourselves on the back for doing our bit for the planet. We read the label that says sustainable forests are planted every time we buy a toilet roll, a shampoo, body lotion, shop for maternity clothes and baby products, or use a search engine to find those companies doing the right thing. And we persuade ourselves that we're making a difference. There are even companies in the United States that are cheating on this kind of cheating, claiming that some of the forests are being planted to offset carbon emissions are theirs, when in fact they're being planted by others. Going green has become a dirty business. Nero isn't just fiddling while Greece, Turkey, California and Australia burn. He's cooking the books in those fires of hell that are torching people's homes, livelihoods, and indeed lives. The UN says that to meet the scientists' demands and save our common home, nationally determined contributions, and that's a phrase that comes with capital letters, have to be made by countries signed up to the Paris Agreement. And so far, only half of the parties signed up to that agreement have submitted new or updated plans. COP26 takes place in November. They really do have to get a move on. And so, of course, do we. We need a whole new mindset. That brave new world, that new normal that was going to happen post-COVID. Post-COVID is just about here, and all we've seen is more of the same. Must have holidays, must have purchases that have travelled halfway, no, three quarters of the way around the world to get to a shop or an online warehouse near you. Must have new cars. Would you believe? In June, new car sales increased 20% year on year. This lifestyle, the emissions created by the industries that make the goods, the emissions from the miles travelled by those goods to get to us, and the emissions we then produce as we freeze them, wash them, drive them, consign them to landfill sites because we've already done with them, it all has to change. Kenneth Sadler, who is the Justice and Peace Commissioner for Aberdeen Diocese, made this point very powerfully at our Zoom event. You can find a link to the recording on the Pax Christi Scotland website. What stuck in my mind from Kenneth's contribution was that it isn't just a matter of swapping our petrol cars for electric cars and thinking we've done well. That's just continuing our feverish consumerist ways, pursuing the same throwaway path that society in the Northern Hemisphere has been following since the dawn of the Industrial Revolution. Wearing my Pax Christi Scotland hat, I must link the climate emergency to peace. Pax Christi International has been stressing the effects of activities in Latin America that generate socio-environmental conflicts that have a negative bearing both on the residents of the territories involved and on their land. Knock-on effects that such as deforestation, displacement of people and greenhouse gas emissions make. All of the above also apply to countries in Africa, particularly in sub-Saharan states. One of the speakers at the St. Margaret's Justice and Peace Zoom event was Bernard Ndaka, an environmentalist speaking to us from Kenya. And there was also a young journalist, Njila Banda, who spoke to us from Zambia. Both stressed that climate change is creating food insecurity in their countries. And of course, when people can't feed themselves, they start to migrate to places where they can find food and work. Migration is destabilizing. It creates friction and worse. What we do in the global north, what we have done for generations, affects our brothers and sisters in the global south. Their emissions are low. Our high emissions affect the whole globe and are deadly. So, we need a new model. We need to think about economic, social, cultural, and environmental rights so that people can live in peace and harmony. There are solutions. When all of the headlines were screaming about the Armageddon-like nature of the IPCC pronouncement, there was a story from the northeast of England that caught my eye because of its positivity. In the past, Seaham was a thriving mining community. Today, the mines are redundant, but there is a plan to use the water from the flooded tunnels to provide underfloor heating for new housing developments in the area. Having written a book about the mining industry in Argyll, I was only too well aware that all mines flood. Indeed, my three times great-grandfather drowned in a mining accident when water flooded into the tunnel where he was working back in the early 1800s. What I hadn't realised was that if that water isn't pumped out, the earth heats it. In the case of the Seaham pits, the water naturally reaches 19 to 20 degrees centigrade. The temperature can then be increased to 55 to 60 degrees centigrade, which is warm enough to be piped into homes to provide a constant source of heat and hot water. 1,500 homes are to benefit from this project. Surely the kind of idea we hope will be scaled up and put on the table at COP26. Wow, I thought, and looked up the possibilities on the internet. Scotland has, let's be thankful, switched to renewable energies. But I didn't know whether to laugh or cry when the first story I hit on, with a yellow sticker at the top to say this article is more than 8 years old, was headed, "Flooded mines could supply 40% of Glasgow's heating, say geologists." This Guardian story from 2012 reminded us that around half of the city sits on mine workings. Having lived in the West End of Glasgow, I'm only too well aware of subsidence caused by such mine workings, that it causes cracked cornices, wonky door frames, and disappointing surveys for house buyers and sellers. But at the British Science Festival in Aberdeen that year, British Geological Survey scientists showed that groundwater could be tapped from this flooded network of disused coal mines. Glasgow City Council had even then tried the system in a housing project. But now, what about the 40% of Glasgow's heating? What happened? Let's get these ideas on the COP26 table and find the cash to put them into immediate operation. Pope Francis says in Laudato Si, that roadmap for a sustainable future, that all is not lost. He explains, human beings, while capable of the worst, are also capable of rising above themselves, choosing again what is good and making a new start, despite their mental and social conditioning. He asks us to take an honest look at ourselves and to seek a change in lifestyle that could bring healthy pressure to bear on those who wield political, economic, and social power. He asks us as consumers to exercise our power to force businesses to consider their environmental footprint. Let's do it. Let's seek, as Pope Francis's prayer for our earth asks, to touch the hearts of those who only look for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Let's push for the justice, love and peace that blue sky thinking and immediate action can bring to our common home. Thank you for listening. Let's make a difference.